Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later on in the program, Robert Knott will be here and Rob DeWalt will be here. It's the double Babapalooza. And a dentist will be here telling us about his program to buy back Halloween candy for the sake of young people's teeth and dental hygiene. I'd like now to welcome Glenn Mullen. He is a Buddhist scholar and he is the author of over 20 books on Tibet and Tibetan Buddhism. And he will be in Santa Fe this Friday, October 30th, that's tomorrow in the evening at 7 o'clock, giving a free lecture titled Easy Enlightenment, Dalai Lama Legacy. And that's at the Clear Light Book Annex at 851 West San Mateo, right here in Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Well, thank you so much.
So in the introduction to your book, The 14 Dalai Lamas, A Sacred Legacy of Reincarnation, the current Dalai Lama writes the introduction, and he writes that Buddhism was introduced to Tibet in the 7th century, and as he puts it, the effect of shifting the focus of conquest from neighboring peoples and lands to the inner workings of the mind and heart, that was a major shift of consciousness in Tibet. And I find it striking that a spiritual practice that works on the individual mind and heart can have a broad and positive political effect in the direction of peacefulness, because usually when you mix religion and politics, it turns toward war. What can you tell us about that time and that transition?
Well, I think if we look at the history of spiritual traditions, war is the exception rather than the rule. It does get more attention in history, I suppose, the same as on the evening news, bad news gets more attention than good news, but spiritual traditions the world over all aim at promoting peace within the individual and peace within societies. But of course, human nature is human nature, and boys will be boys, girls will be girls, and occasionally there is a little tuffle here and there. But I think, in general, the combination of spirituality or spiritual values in secular life is very important. I mean, if we look back over the history of, say, Christianity, we see that the Christian tradition did a great deal to bring peace. Of course, we can also look at times when there were conflicts, but I think those are more the exception rather than the rule.
And so at that particular time in Tibet, what are the historical records that we actually have from that time?
Well, Tibetans themselves were fairly enthusiastic writers, and as the centuries rolled by, they became even more prolific. Many of the Dalai Lamas, for instance, wrote 200 or 300 books, and that wasn't really above and beyond what many other great writers were doing. So there's a fairly good historical accounts, but of course, you know, kings are kings, and even if they were in a Buddhist period, there was still a certain amount of juxtapositioning of political ideas, and not always were those juxtapositionings resolved completely peacefully. But I think in general we can say from the time of the Dalai Lamas, which is 13th, 14th century, coming down to today when the Dalai Lamas played a greater role in things, their role was always that of peacemaker. And generally, they provided a great service, not only for Tibet, but, say, keeping India and China separated from fighting with one another, as kind of acting as a buffer state, or mitigating some of the Mongolian warlord activities. Over the centuries, I think they had a wonderful effect in bringing about peace and harmony, and generally on teaching people how to live closer to what the present Dalai Lama calls basic human values.
How did the lineage of Dalai Lamas get started? How did the first Dalai Lama become the Dalai Lama?
Well, that's a little bit to do with the Tibetan idea of reincarnate Lama, when we say Dalai Lama. The first incarnation was born in, I think, 1391, so a fair amount of time ago, over 600 years ago. And he was a semi-orphan child. His dad died when he was 9, and he was put in a monastery under his uncle and turned out to be a great Buddhist scholar and also great meditator, and then achieved enlightenment when in his mid-50s. And he became the most famous teacher of his generation, with students all over Tibet and all over Central Asia. And so after he passed away, there was a young child became recognized as his reincarnation. And when that one turned out equally great, and when he passed away, a search was made for his reincarnation, and so on down to today. So the traditional Central Asian or Tibetan, you could say Tibeto-Mongol tradition of reincarnate Lama was born in this way, with basically the first one manifesting enlightenment and achieving national greatness.
One paradox of Buddhism that I've always found very interesting is how, on the one hand, it's a very scientific tradition, especially among spiritual traditions, and the practitioner isn't supposed to take things on faith, but rather to practice and advance through direct observation and so on. And on the other hand, Buddhism is full of belief systems, including some very specific beliefs about reincarnation, including the methods for finding each successive Dalai Lama. How do you explain this apparent paradox?
Well, I think many things can be tested and proven true on higher levels of experimentation, but they aren't necessarily provable without going to those higher levels. For instance, if we want to prove something about chemistry, we need to have test tubes and so forth, and we need to have an understanding of the chemistry. We can't just walk up to someone with no education in chemistry or physics and prove a physical law or a chemical law. And it's the same with higher meditative qualities, you could say, or spiritual qualities. They can be experienced as true in deeper states of meditation. People can remember their previous lives and so forth. And in the Tibetan world, they took that to a kind of a science of finding reincarnate children. So when a great being died, a kind of a science of finding the reincarnation.
So when you go to that level with it, it's actually not beliefs after all?
Correct, yes. I mean, the emphasis in Buddhism is that if anything is just a belief, at least it should be a beneficial belief. And it should be a belief that doesn't contradict reason. For instance, we can't prove that reincarnation doesn't exist. But on higher levels and meditative levels, we can see that it does exist. So it shouldn't be something that completely contradicts ordinary reason. But I don't think ordinary reason can point or can prove every level of truth. Some levels of truth depend upon not mere conceptual mind or sort of mathematical formulation, but do depend upon experience. For instance, how do we know another person is a good person? We only know that through our own experience. There's no logic to prove someone is a good person, and there's supporting reasonings, I guess, as there are for reincarnation, but we do depend upon direct experience.
What is the role of the Dalai Lama? What is the job description, so to speak?
Well, this one is a little different, obviously, because the Tibetans lost their country in the 1950s to the Chinese communist invasion. So his job has become much more multifaceted. And I guess also today the world is in much more of a sensitive or vulnerable predicament. And so he's become involved in many more issues than previous Dalai Lamas were. for instance, you know, environmental issues, harmony between continents and cultures, between capitalism, communism, and all of these kind of issues that previously were outside of the job description, if you will. But in past incarnations, they were, you could say, kind of a Lama king of Tibet, but not on a day-by-day ruling of Tibet. Rather, they were the symbol of enlightenment rule, and their primary job was to see that the 200 or 300 little kingdoms that made up the federation that was the nation of Tibet, that those 200 or 300 kingdoms lived in harmony, and also all around Tibet, Ladakh, Lhasa, northern Nepal, Sikkim, Bhutan, Mongolia, much of western China, that these other Tibetan Buddhist countries, where the Dalai Lama was not a Lama king, but rather was an incarnate living Buddha, if you will, was a great spiritual leader. His principal job was to see that outside of Tibet, that the spiritual traditions of those countries remained strong, and to try to encourage the kings and the leaders of those countries to live in peace and harmony and to embody the values of love, compassion, wisdom, enlightenment, and so forth that are sort of the hallmarks of the Buddhist tradition.
We're talking to Buddhist scholar Glenn Mullen. It seems that in Buddhism there are meditation practices which people learn, and there are also stories, of which there are many in your book. What is the spiritual purpose of storytelling?
I mean, that's I suppose it depends on who you're telling the story to. As I guess many stories in Buddhism, the point is to kind of illustrate or point to a particular reality. Sometimes the metaphor is given of a finger pointing to the moon. The finger isn't the moon, but by looking at the finger and thinking through what's happening with the pointing of the finger, we will turn our gaze towards the moon. So in that way, no words can really induce an experience directly in someone else. We can't, as the great Indian master from the second century, Nagarjuna, put it, an enlightened being isn't a fisherman who pops a fish out of the water onto the soil. That basically he only teaches, all they can do is point the way to higher living or to enlightenment. So stories are like the finger pointing at the moon. They turn the mind in a particular way. If they're enlightenment stories, of course, many stories are just time distractors. And as a filmmaker friend of mine once put it, the indulgence of afflicted emotions.
Interesting. Well, I suppose some of them are also just ways to remember your history.
Well, of course, history is one thing. And stories from history, but if we say stories, then usually we don't think actually so much of historical as stories as being history. Teaching stories are more like allegorical stories, I suppose, like in the Christian Bible with parables and the such. Otherwise, history, of course, we learn a great deal from history. We see if someone practices meditation and learns the ways of enlightenment, they become a better person, and if they do the opposite and just let their life run helter-skelter, then their life becomes a helter-skelter life.
The title of your talk, which you will be giving tomorrow, is Easy Enlightenment, Dalai Lama Legacy. Tell us more about the easy part. What do you mean?
Well, the fifth Dalai Lama once made a comment, or once wrote a little book, and then he opened it with a comment that enlightenment is easy. Just like an artist who is skilled takes a piece of formless clay and creates a great masterpiece of art, in the same way, enlightenment is like taking the ordinary clay of our own life and then transforming that clay into the shape of enlightenment, or into the form of enlightenment. So in this sense, it's easy. It's easy in that millions of people have done it in the past and millions of people will do it in the future. It's if we look at a great painting that's got maybe 10 million brush strokes on it, it's easy in that each stroke is just one stroke. And through the 10 million strokes, then one gets a masterpiece painting. If you look at the whole painting, then you can say, well, goodness, that's a lot of work. But it's not really, is it? It's one stroke at a time.
You are acquainted with the Dalai Lama, and I was wondering, I know you can't really probably speak for him, but is it your sense, I mean, there's such an optimism in Tibetan Buddhism and the sense of enlightenment for all sentient beings and the sense of really setting the world on an enlightened path and so on, and at least cursory look at the world as it is would indicate that maybe we're not doing so well. What do you think, and what does the current Dalai Lama think?
I remember once at an interview with the Dalai Lama back in the early 1970s, some Westerner said to him, oh, this prophecy about the world going to end soon, what do you think? And the Dalai Lama looked and he tapped the earth with his foot and he said, this world? And he sort of giggled.
Right.
In Buddhism, you know, we're only maybe 1% through the present sort of cycle of civilization. And, you know, the teachings of Buddha alone are said to last for 5,000 years, and there are only 2,560 or so gone. So there's still another good 2,440 left just in this cycle.
Right.
And the next cycle is another 10,000 years down the way. So Buddhism in this way thinks that the human society, certainly it'll have its ups and downs and its great challenges, and it'll have its wars and its plagues and its floods and its locusts and so forth. That's part of life on earth. But the brave survive and the good survive and life goes on. And it's all basically a grand theater for the challenging of the enlightenment spirit, like beating milk to get cream or stirring milk to get cream. I think every Buddhist should start the day by meditating how wonderful life is, and you're supposed to think of all the good qualities of human life until tears come to your eyes. You should start the day in that way. Then they tend to think all living beings have once been my mother, and mothers are such wonderful people, and develop that sense of all other living beings, the connectedness with them. So this kind of positive attitude spins through Buddhism from the beginning of every day until you go to bed at night and you dissolve your mind into infinite radiance and think that this is the great radiant light that is the core of the being of every living being, from the smallest bug to the biggest Buddha.
We're talking to Glenn Mullen, Buddhist scholar. Is this your path? Are you a practitioner of Tibetan Buddhism as well as a scholar?
Yes, I'm primarily a practitioner. I studied Buddhist practice in Buddhist training, Tantric Buddhism in Dharamsala, India, for about 12 years continuously, and then 6 months a year for the next half dozen or so years. So I'm primarily a Buddhist practitioner and Buddhist teacher and writer. In terms of scholarship, that's kind of questionable. I mean, I'm a prolific writer, perhaps an overachiever in that respect.
Well, we look forward to having you here in Santa Fe tomorrow, October 30th. Glenn Mullen will be here at 7 o'clock giving a free lecture titled Easy Enlightenment, Dalai Lama Legacy, at Clear Light Book Annex at 851 San Mateo Road in Santa Fe. For more information, you can call 505-989-9590 or go to clearlightbooks.com. Thank you so much for being with us here on the Radio Cafe.
Well, thank you, Mary Charlotte, and I look forward to seeing you.
Excellent. We're going to take a break right now, and we'll be back in a minute. Please stay tuned to KSL. And by the way, it's not tomorrow night, it's tonight. It's tonight that he will be here, Glenn Mullen. Okay, we're going to really take a break right now. And I'm delighted now to welcome Dr. Jake Prishkulnik. He is with the Just for Grins Pediatric Dentistry Practice, and he is here to talk about an innovative program to save young people's teeth. Welcome.
Good morning, and thank you having me for having me here.
So tell us about this Buy Back Halloween Candy program.
Well, this is our second annual Halloween Buy Back Candy program. What we do is we ask the kids to bring their unopened candy to our dental practice. We buy the candy from them. We pay one crisp dollar for 1 pound of candy. What we do with the candy, we give it to the Blue Star mothers. Those are mothers who have kids or children or relatives in the military, in the armed forces. And during the holidays, they pack the candy as part of the packing material for their care packages that they send to their soldiers. So we are partnering with them, and we are donating all the candy to the Blue Star mothers.
So that the teeth of our military can suffer rather than the teeth of our children.
Well, we don't look at candy as so evil. It's the habits of brushing and keeping good oral health is what keeps nice smiles in our mouths. We also send to the soldiers toothbrushes and toothpaste and flosses, and we hope that everybody maintain good oral health.
So why did you decide to do this?
Well, this program have been running nationwide with different offices before we started it here. This is only our second annual. I thought that this is a great way to incorporate health and candy and something good for our armed forces soldiers.
So if people want to participate, kids, their motivation is, well, a crisp dollar per pound of candy. If they want to participate in actually giving up their Halloween candy for this reason, what should they do? Where should they go?
Great question. We are going to open our doors Sunday at 10 o'clock in the morning. From 10 o'clock to 2, we'll start doing the weigh-ins. And during the week, the following week, from 8:30 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon, as the office is open, we will weigh in candy and give away dollars. Our office is on 490B West Zia Road in Santa Fe. That's where the Albertson, the Office Max, and the Cancer Institute building. And we will be there and waiting for the kids. They can come in with customs, but not with the vampire teeth. We may pull those out.
How did it go last year?
Last year we collected 400 pounds of candy.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
Are the parents the real motivation behind this?
I think it's actually a great community event. We had parents bringing their kids. We had kids coming in. Last year we partnered with a bank that gave us piggy banks to entice the kids to save more money. We had old folks who had leftover candy who came and just donated their candy to us. And overall, it went wonderful. And in December, we went all to, with the Blue Star Mothers, we proudly delivered 400 pounds of candy. And it was a great day of packing 250 care packages to the soldiers.
Dr. Jake Prishkulnik is with the Just for Grins Pediatric Dentistry Practice, and I suppose that it's not only about saving their teeth, but really better eating habits. The amount of fructose and sugar and chocolate that goes into your system the day after Halloween is pretty high.
Absolutely. It's about good eating habits, about oral hygiene, which means brushing and flossing twice a day for the right amount of time. It's about adult brushing the kids' teeth, because children do not have good hand dexterities to reach all the places that they have to reach, and definitely to cut down on the sugar.
Dr. Jake, thank you so much for being with us here on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. And if people have questions, can they call this?
Absolutely.
Can they call the number 428-7878?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Robert Knott and Rob DeWalt are standing by. We'll be back in just a second. And I would like now to welcome Robert Knott. He is the associate editor of the Pasatiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. And Rob DeWalt, who's a staff writer for the Pasatiempo. He's also a food writer. He writes mainly about candy apples, candy corn, and mini Snickers bars. Welcome, gentlemen. It's
welcome.
The Babapalooza.
Welcome.
How are you?
It's the zombie ghost extravaganza.
Well, that fits in with the pasta tempo
today. Reminds me, I brought you some special candy for Halloween that's got a little sort of like regional twist on it.
What, pickles?
No, I couldn't find any pickle-flavored candy in time, but I got you salt and limon-flavored Pop Rocks.
Salt and lemon-flavored Pop Rocks. Wow, that is beautiful. I'm not sure I'm going to eat them right now because that might make unwanted sound effects. So, happy Halloween, dudes.
Happy Halloween.
What's going on
this
weekend?
If you pick up the Pasta Temple, you'll see my cover story on the legend of Sleepy Cuchillo. It's a little ghost town north of Tier C, and that's where I was last weekend looking for ghosts, and here's my report on it. I think there's also an online video by Luis Sanchez Saturno, which involves my wandering around this ghostly place.
I need to know. Did you find him?
No.
You didn't find him?
No, we brought in a medium who found some, but we slept the night peacefully in the haunted house. But you know what? If you do believe in ghosts, that doesn't mean they come out every night or that they contact you.
That's right. They got day jobs.
They got things to do.
They do?
Yeah.
What do they do?
You know, I think if you're trying to
ghost laundry.
Yeah, they got to have their sheets. Otherwise, how can they wear them? You got to do your sheets once in a while.
Oh, that's a good point.
So anyway, we have a whole bunch of essays in today's pasta, including by me and Rob, on why zombies are popular, why vampires are popular. There's ghosts. I think the only thing we're missing is gorilla men.
Gorilla men?
Yeah, like in the old days, Bela Lugosi would be in these movies for Monogram Pictures, and he'd be like half man, half gorilla because he was experimenting. Why would somebody do that, by the way?
Because they couldn't find any vampire makeup or capes or anything?
That's not the reason. They already did the vampire movie. They had to do something new. So the gorilla man is the only thing we didn't cover. What's amazing, and Rob and I were talking about this, is Saturday night Halloween, there's like four... Minimum of four events you should go take in, right?
There's a lot. There's a lot of Halloween-y stuff going on.
Let's hear about it. I want to do one of them.
Okay, the Mayor's Ball, 6 to 11, which is going to benefit La Familia Medical Center, and that's at the Convention Center.
Well, that's also, isn't that the wonderful honoring of the people who received Arts Awards?
That was last night.
Oh, I missed it.
No, right? That was the Mayor's Awards.
I think that was last night. But, I have to say something. They might have chosen a different title for the Mayor's Ball other than A Wicked Affair, especially, you know, when there's other stuff going on like elections and
it's
stuff.
It's supposed to be a family event.
I know.
Having said that, it's 6 to 11 Saturday night, Santa Fe Community Center. I'll give you a phone number, 955-0302. The same night, the Human Rights Alliance, Santa Fe Human Rights Alliance, is having a little get-together up at the Lodge of Santa Fe from 8 to 2 a.m., dancing with DJ Tatooine, is that it?
Yep, Tatooine.
And there's going to be a contest. When to Watch is going to be there. Drag goddesses Peekaboo and Teffy Shalimar. What is it, Shalimar?
Teffy Shalimar, Guava Chiffon, Boozy Orman, the Drinkin' Mormon, and others. We'll just leave it at that. Some of them you couldn't repeat on the air.
You can get tickets at the
door. There's some wonderful names, aren't there?
Yeah, and actually that event was actually scheduled to be at the Hilton, which it usually is, but this year they moved it at the last minute.
Up to the Lodge.
Up to the Lodge.
St. Francis.
So, and they have apparently special rates for rooms. For people who don't feel like, you know, drinking and driving.
Or you meet somebody on the dance floor, you want to spend the night with them?
Yeah,
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
The third Halloween event.
Like I said, it's a family show.
Oh, sorry. Is at Buffalo Thunder, and that is a benefit for Open Hands, which is a great local nonprofit that helps the elderly and the disabled. And it's a costume party. It's a fantasy masquerade. Ooh, look at this. And that's from 8 to 1 up at Buffalo Thunder, which is about 15 miles north of the city. DJ King George is there, Santa Fe Little Big Band, Moving People Dance. Tickets can be purchased by calling ticket.com, which is 800-905-3315. If you order them today, you save $5. I hope I can say that. Costume contest, food, drink, dancing. The funny thing about these parties is, isn't tomorrow night we move the clocks back?
Tomorrow night we move the clocks back. So
yeah, it's the absolutely ideal Halloween weekend because Halloween falls on a Saturday night. And then you get to sleep in an extra hour on Sunday.
That's right.
But if you're in the middle of a party, like, do they set it back an hour and then you get an extra hour of partying?
You know, I don't know. I don't know what the deal is with restaurants and bars and stuff. I know when I was bartending years ago, we would stay open an extra hour.
Because at midnight, you'd put the clock back to 11.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't that be fun to do one night when it wasn't the time change?
Well, it's actually, don't they do it at 2 o'clock in the morning?
It's 2 o'clock in the morning that it changes.
But what about if you go to bed at 10:30? Do you do it in advance?
No, you set an alarm and you get up and do it.
Yeah, you set alarm for 2 a.m.
What do you mean?
And you get up and set it to 1, and then you sleep for another hour, then you get up again and check whether it's still right.
What kind of nonsense is this? I finished the 10 o'clock news. I moved my clock back an hour.
Hey, isn't there a great event at Second Street as well?
Let's see. It's
isn't it Gumbo Project and then that wonderful Kiss cover band?
Oh, no. That's it's all switched around. Actually, the Cowgirl and the Corazon are doing a sort of trade-off. So if you go to the Cowgirl and you pay your cover, you can see Zoe Fitzgerald, the time-traveling transvestite, Joe West's, you know, weirded out rock opera, and that's at 9 o'clock. You pay a cover, you pay a little bit more, you get to go to Corazon's Halloween thing. Now, Corazon has, oh gosh, they have all kinds of stuff. They have These United States, which is sort of a gritty roots rock band. DJ Jim Stevens is going to be doing some Deep House. And then Love Gun, the Kiss cover
Love
band.
Love Gun, that's it, Love Gun.
Yeah.
With KSFR's own Peter Williams.
That's right. And so Corazon co-owner Mikey Baker, who's in Love Gun, called me just to smooth things out and let me know what was going on because there was a little confusion. So if you pay a cover at Corazon plus a little extra, you get coverage at the Cowgirl too. So it's keeping people out of the cars and in the bars.
Okay, because I heard a rumor that the whole... Because last year they were at 2nd Street on Halloween night.
No. Right.
But not this year.
No. Not this year.
Okay.
But they do have the same drummer that they had last year at 2nd Street. He's a great drummer.
All right.
A couple more little Halloween things, and then we can get off of that. November 1st, Sunday, Chuck Jones Gallery. The Santa Fe High School Spanish language students have constructed a Day of the Dead altar, and you can go by and see it. It's free. They're on, what street are they on? Palace?
Chuck Jones, 135 yeah. West Palace, downstairs from Fusion Nightclub.
So head on down over there. And then tomorrow at the Vargas Mall, in the cover story of the New Mexican, Not Paso Tiempo has, they're getting ready for like the Big Brothers and Big Sisters extravaganza. There's going to be a costume contest for the kiddies around 4 o'clock. And then around 5 or 6, they have a haunted house that you go through and you get scared. Then at 11 o'clock, they're showing The Exorcist, right, with the revised
mm-hmm.
footage.
Yeah, that's a rated R one, so that might not be good for the
kiddies. That's 11 o'clock. That's why you send the 17-year-olds in over.
Yeah.
Did
yeah.
you sneak into R-rated movies when you were little?
I did. I snuck into Friday the 13th on opening night with a friend of mine in Westport, Connecticut, and got physically sick. I was so scared. I got physically sick and left the theater.
But what about naughty movies?
My mom took me to see Flesh Gordon when I was in the second grade.
What the? What kind of mother is that?
I think she thought it was Flash Gordon. I think there was a miscommunication on the marquee. Also on the 1st, there's a Day of the Dead celebration at the Museum of International Folk Art.
That's right.
You can take your kids there. You can decorate some sugar skulls. They have a big community altar that you can contribute to. There's going to be some live music and refreshments. That's from 1 to 5 p.m. at the Museum of International Folk Art. If you're a New Mexico resident, there's no charge if you have an ID.
That's pretty good. So the paranormal haunted house at the Vargas is tonight too, huh?
Yeah, they're having this huge sort of fright fest thing. They have
yikes.
Tonight there's a haunted house, and what else is there? Yeah, there's a haunted house, and for 5 to 7 for the little kiddies and their guardians, and then from 7 to 10 for the bigger kids who really want to get scared. This is a benefit for Big Brothers Big Sisters. On Saturday night they're also doing the haunted house, but they're also doing trick or treating. There's going to be snack concessions. There's a place to paint pumpkins. They have a little cakewalk. Too bad it's not a zombie walk. That would be really cool. But it's the same thing applies.
Do zombies eat cake?
Meat cake.
Right.
Yeah,
I think there's
meat
a
cake.
Ghost walk at some event this weekend. I think one of those schools, like, that's another thing. A lot of the elementary schools are having Halloween events tomorrow over at... Carlos Gilbert, which is actually in Alameda.
There's a one at Chaparral, and there's one at, Carlos Gilbert is actually, yeah.
Yeah, so they're all, pay attention to that stuff. And then also, Bat Boy, the musical. What do you know about that?
I know nothing about it.
What do you mean?
I mean, I didn't know anything until I read the wonderful story in the Paso Tiempo.
Well, naturally, I wrote the thing, and I, well, what did you know, do you remember Bat Boy?
No.
What do you mean, no? Don't you ever read the Weekly World News and the Star and that stuff when you're in the line over at the checkout counter? How else do you find out about the stars with cellulite? Don't you ever read those things?
I'm like looking at the candy.
Well, you know Bat Boy, Rob,
and
right?
At the
tabloids. Yeah.
Tell me about him.
I know nothing about him.
Do you know Bat Boy? Yes, I do.
I know more about Lobster Boy than Bat Boy, so you're going to have to enlighten me.
Bat Boy's about the guy that's half bat and half boy, and he was found in a cave, and they wrote a theater story about him with music, and it's at the Greer Garson Theater Center in the Weckerser Studio Theater. 8 o'clock tonight, 8 o'clock Saturday, and I think Sunday matinee. See my previous story in today's Paso Tiempo. Call 4736-511.
And tonight, and this isn't really explicitly Halloween-y, but tonight at El Farol on Canyon Road in Santa Fe, there is a dinner show. It's called Sueños de Andaluza. It's a performance featuring Mito y El Zoot on flamenco guitars, vocals, and percussions, and the Sultana dancers performing a fusion of dance styles. They do, I guess, Middle Eastern and other styles.
What time is this?
7 to 9. Reservations are very important.
983. Because Savar plays there at 9:30.
9912.
Okay, cool. Give the number again.
983-9912.
Thanks.
In the spirit of Halloween, La Casa Santa's Cantina Singers are going to be doing the songs from the Rocky Horror Picture Show. There's going to be two shows tonight and two shows on Saturday night. There's 6 and 8:30 on Friday, and I believe it's 6 and 8 on Saturday night.
Good.
Oh, 5:30 and 8. I'm sorry.
All right, let's assume you're not interested in Halloween for reasons we can't quite surmise.
What are you guys going to be for Halloween?
I've got my, well,
drunk.
It depends. I was going to be Scooby-Doo again this year, but the little girl that lives next door has the same exact costume.
Uh-oh.
And I don't want to make her, you know, feel bad or
totally.
Anything like that. So I threw my Star Trek uniform in the truck. So just wherever I am, it's there. I can just throw it on and no makeup required. You know?
Excellent.
You just summon the inner nerd and I'll get into character that way. Speaking of zombies and organs, TGIF organ recital on Friday, Gregory D'Agostino, I believe, performs music of Bach and others at the First Presbyterian Church Sanctuary tonight at 5:30 p.m. That's at 208 Grand Avenue. Craig Smith did a story about it in today's Pasatiempo on page 27. If you can call 982-8544, you can get more info on that concert.
Good.
And there is a monster book sale today from 3 to 6 during the El Dorado Farmers Market and tomorrow from 8 to 1 in Suite 101, La Tienda at El Dorado. And there's 3,000 donated soft and hardcover books for 25 cents each.
Wow.
And all sales will go to learningmind.org to pay for school fees and supplies for children in India and El Salvador.
Mm. What are you going to be for Halloween?
You know, I was thinking vampire because I've been carrying around this little tube of black lipstick for some time now, and I thought I might put it to use.
From your old goth days?
I don't know why I have this thing. I was never fully goth. Oh, no.
No? That's a shame. That's a shame. You'd make a good goth.
I'd make a good vampire.
Are you nocturnal?
Yes.
Okay. Then you're halfway there.
There we have it.
You're totally halfway there.
So, Robert Knott, what are you going to be for Halloween?
I'm going to go up to 10,000 waves and be a nudist. All right, so here's something for you. The Lion and Winners at Santa Fe Playhouse.
Now, that thing is great.
Oh, you saw it?
I saw the rehearsal.
Okay.
I thought it was very good.
Excellent. 988-4262, directed by Suzanne Lederer, runs through the weekend. Joey Chavez and Ian
Waist. Is this the last weekend of it?
It is.
Oh, okay. Definitely go see it.
Joey Chavez and Ian Waist will have their show, The Seventh Event, Friday and Saturday, 8 o'clock at Santa Fe High. Word of mouth on that is excellent. It's about the dark side of corporate greed. 467-2970.
As opposed to the happy and peaceful side of corporate greed?
You got it. We already mentioned Bat Boy, and I think Capitol High has a play going on, too. But I can't quite remember what the heck it is.
Speed Date. It's on Friday night. It's one performance only. Capitol High School Performing Arts Theater Group presents Janet Allard's comedy at 7 p.m. in the Brian Font Theater. You call 467-1070 for ticket info. That is tonight.
Tonight.
And there was one thing. I got a late press release, and it didn't have time to get into the calendar this week, but Meow Wolf is having an art opening this evening.
Oh. Excellent.
And apparently tomorrow night they're having five bands tomorrow night.
Whoa.
I don't have the information in front of me, but if you go to their myspace.com/meowwolf. You can get more information on that.
Or you just
sure.
Google Meow nice. Wolf and you'll find them.
Right.
Warehouse 21 has open mic Wednesdays, 7 o'clock at the Internet Cafe in Warehouse 21. Check it out.
And also, a heads up, a week in advance, I want to let people know that on Saturday, November 7th, not this Saturday,
Jim
but
Hightower.
The next one, Jim Hightower will be at Collected Works Bookstore in Santa Fe. It's a benefit for KSFR.
That's excellent.
And you can go, and then there's also a reception and... There's music and all kinds of things. So you can call Linda at 428-1379.
Linda with a smiling face.
You like ice skating?
I like watching it.
You Ooh. Don't like doing it?
I used to like doing it. I haven't done it for a long time.
Yeah. Well, tonight at the Genevieve Chavez Community Center. They're having something called Chiller on Ice. It's a Halloween ice skating show at 6 p.m. performance. Apparently, there's going to be children recreating dance moves from Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Nice.
On skates.
On skates. 6:30 p.m., there's a meet and greet with the cast. 7 p.m., there's a public costume skate party. And there's an 8 p.m. Costume contest. There's a lot of, like, everywhere that we mention, usually there's going to be a costume contest.
I know, the whole weekend.
Especially at the restaurants
and
the bars.
Sunday and
you can clean up. If you have a costume and you do some hopping around on Saturday, you can clean up. Seriously.
Cleaning up is a good thing.
Yeah.
You know what? Let's plug the Santa Fe Children's Museum.
Yes.
Okay.
Today you can make a stuffed animal bat. I assume that's a bat that flies for Halloween.
Yeah.
And not a bat that you, like, beat people up with when they're
right.
chasing you because you didn't pay your debts over at Coeur d'Alene like me. So 9 to noon today. You can get in there. You can make clay skulls and pasta skeletons at 2:30. I'm not making this up. So there's other stuff happening. Like next Thursday at 1, there's Firefighter Story Hour. That should be a burning sensation thing. You can also make corn husk dolls next Thursday at 4. Children's Museum is great. They're at 1050 Old Santa Fe, Old Pecos Trail. 989-8359. If you're visiting and you have kids, bring them over there. They have a climbing wall. They have big bubbles they do, and then they have snakes and things like that. But they don't think they have gorilla men. That's what would make
we
that
have
show
enough
good.
Of them here. Hey, this weekend on
that seemed to me.
Saturday and not necessarily. How do you know that for sure? On Saturday and Sunday, Canticum Novum. It's a chamber orchestra and chorus commemorating All Saints and All Souls Day. Ken Knight is the musical director, and John Onstad. They present a musical experience unique to Santa Fe. It's Saturday at 7 in the evening and Sunday at 4 in the afternoon at the St. Francis Auditorium. And all kinds of music by... Did you announce this already?
Nope.
No. Okay. By Bach, Schubert, Foire's Requiem, Schubert's Song of the Spirits Over the Waters, Bach's Cantata 106, God's Time is Best. Maurice Green, Lord, Let Me Know Mine End.
They have very upbeat names, do they? I mean, it's not like they're doing, you know, going to rock this town or...
Well, it's Halloween.
Know. Well, I know, but this is pretty somber. I mean, the way you were listing this stuff off, you'd think you were walking into a crypt.
Well, it's All Saints Day and All Souls Day.
What time is it?
8:53.
Jenny Cooley Gallery on 826 Canyon Road. Is opening a Day of the Dead group show tonight, 5 to 7, and it's called Scary. There's a strange image in the Pasa Temple calendar.
There's some great stuff. There's
63.
Another. There's a great show.
Disturbing.
Ahalina Studios, 1422 2nd Street.
Inner Demons.
Inner Demons. It's a group show. There's a reception from 6 to 9 tonight. It's open to the public through Sunday, November 1st, and then again, the public can view it on Saturday and Sunday, November 7th or 8th. I recommend you check that show out.
Yikes.
There's a lot of great work in it.
There's scary stuff everywhere.
And this coming Monday night, a non-scary thing, at 6 o'clock at the Hotel Santa Fe Southwest Seminars continues its benefit lecture series, Mother Earth, Father Sky, Perspectives on the Environment and the West. Stephen Fox, a historian and author of the book John Muir and His Legacy, will be giving a lecture on Aldo Leopold and the Southwest 100 years later, and the lecture benefits the New Mexico Environmental Law Center.
Pretty nice.
And you can go to nmelc.org. Like, that's New Mexico Environmental Law Center.
That same night, the Middle Eastern Belly Dancing of Mosaic Dance Company will titillate your sensual juices at 7 o'clock at Body of Santa Fe, right across the street here, 333 Cordova Road. 9860632, requested donation.
And Sunday, Susan Abbott sings with Lewis Wynn from 3:30 to 6 at Milagro.
Excellent. And also, isn't there something happening with Geeks Who Drink? Is that still happening at Coeur d'Alene and at the
That happens on Catamount? Wednesday nights, yeah.
When are we going to go do that?
What do you have to do to qualify as a geek? Do you have to show your pocket protector? I mean, what do you have to do?
It's just if you have a lot of useless knowledge
right.
and
oh
trivia
man.
Stuck in your head that's just screaming to get out.
I'll be there.
You need to get to Coeur d'Alene on Wednesday nights and check it out.
Totally.
And then give away nifty prizes, too.
Nifty.
Yeah.
Is Alex DeVore still hosting that?
I believe so, yes. I believe he is.
Okay.
And the Santa Fe Artist Market apparently is going strong by site Santa Fe. The hours are 8 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon until Christmas. And I think that is on Saturdays, but she didn't specify. When is the Saturday? Is it with the farmers market? Does anybody know? All right, never mind.
What is it?
The Santa Fe Artist Market?
Yeah, that's with the that's along with the farmers market.
So that's on Saturdays.
Saturdays.
Uh-huh. Okay, people who send announcements, please say the day it's going to be. Thank you very much.
Yes, but a lot of those art outdoor art cafes, the Santa Fe Artist Market at the Rally Art and the Santa Fe Farmers Market, they are continuing into the at least through November.
Did you just say continuating?
Yeah, I did. I like to conjugate verbs that way we can coalesce
it's
with them.
It's continuing. You might you have continuation, but you don't have continuating. Just saying.
And you're continuing to always get me when I'm on your show. You want to have Bob DeWalt here to help
you
me.
You love it. Give me a break.
You know, Monday is also the first in the series by Oliver Prezant, The Art of Listening with Oliver Prezant. Georgia O'Keeffe Museum's Adult Learning Program is presenting the first of three listening workshops with the Santa Fe Community Orchestra Music Director, 6 to 7:30 p.m. on Monday the 2nd at the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum Education Annex. Now there's an individual workshop. There's you can pay a little bit more for the whole series. It continues November 9th and November 16th. So clear your schedules. Reservations are required. Call 946-1039 for more details on that.
What
I did yesterday. Yesterday was my 40th birthday. Went and treated myself to a little bit of dark chocolate at one of our local chocolatiers.
Happy birthday!
Why didn't you tell me? Because
it's
early.
40th. Birthday,
oh, come on, I'm going on 50.
That.
Get over
40's
it.
Great.
But it reminded me that Kakawa Chocolate House on Monday the 2nd is having a Dia de los Muertos group show.
Yeah.
They're having a reception on Monday from 5 to 8 p.m., and that show's going to be up through November. But I went to this chocolate shop, and I asked the girl, I said, are you busy? And she said, you know, the funny thing is that everyone is coming in and saying that they've done all of their Halloween trick-or-treat candy shopping,
yeah.
But the real diehards are just now getting out and doing the candy shopping for themselves.
Oh, that's good.
So
I got to go by and get some caramel apples over there at the Senior Murphy's today. I know, those are good. Also, I like the Kit Kat bars you buy at CBS.
Gentlemen, it's wonderful to have you here on the Santa Fe Radio
it's
Cafe.
It's wonderful to be had by you.
Robert Knott and Rob DeWalt.
That's us.
Of the Pasa Tiempo,
the
of
Baba
the Santa
Palooza.
Fe New Mexican.
Pick
it's
it
the
up.
Baba
Lots
Palooza.
Of ghosts, everything.
It's the
ghost
zombie
the
ghost extravaganza.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Scary.
And I'm scared.
Well, you should be.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte.
We know that.
KSFR streams live on the web at KSFR.org. Mm. You can email me at radiocafe@KSFR.org. The podcast site is SantaFeRadioCafe.org, thanks to Santa Fe's DotFoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can find us at Facebook.com/RadioCafe. All these people who I don't know are friending me on Facebook. I love it. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that...
Kids, hide.
After that...
Jazz a la carte, but there's a ghost coming on.
Uh-oh.
There's a disembodied voice.
There's ghosts everywhere.
Kind of voice.
I don't know what to do. We've got 1 minute left. I think that the two of you should sing
a
duet.
We should sing the Monster Mash.
You know what? I don't sing. I make it a point of not putting anyone through that. I just, I make it a point.
Me too.
You know what I mean?
Monster Mash.
Because they always, at school, they would put me in the chorus and shove me in the back where the acoustics weren't too great, you know, so that no one would have to listen to me sing. So
aww.
We should just stick with Robert
Knott. Everybody loves Mary Charlotte sometimes.
And sometimes not.
Everybody loves your beautiful eyes. Something in your smile is telling me I'm in for a big surprise. Oh.
Robert Knott, thank you so much for being with us. Rob DeWalt, have a happy Halloween.
You
drive safely.
Let's bring him back for our annual Thanksgiving show.
Okay.
We need a turkey.
Don't drink and drive, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, no.
No, you shouldn't.
Do not drink and drive.
Seriously, walk.
Especially this weekend. Don't forget to set your clocks back 1 hour.
That's right.
Yeah. There's going to be a high number of little children running in the street.
Saturday.
That's right.
Be careful.
And give them healthy candy.
Like what?
I don't know.
I mean healthy candy. You're the type that should give me apples when I was a kid.
Never
I never
mind.
Ate those things.
Hasta la vista, baby.
And I'll see you.